And we'll read the Word of the Lord together, if you're able and willing to stand. And we'll reverence the reading of God's Word from Deuteronomy in chapter number 6. And we'll begin reading in verse 1, go through the end of the chapter. The Word of the Lord says, Now there are these commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord the God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. You're going to see this theme consistent throughout this chapter concerning the statutes of the Lord, and hearing them, understanding them, and then undertaking to do them or to keep them. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And of course, I've preached out of that verse several times. And verse 5 is a great text as well. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus quotes this verse of Scripture as the greatest commandment in all of the Old Testament when He's here in the Gospels. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Of course, we've taken text from this verse. And shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine heart, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee a great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and the wells digged which thou diggest not, and the vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, notice all their prosperity that they didn't earn, but God blessed them and gave to them and did for them and nourished them and said, when you've come to that place where you've realized all of these promises, verse 12, then beware. You would think that need to beware when trouble came in their lives. God said when prosperity comes in your life, then beware lest thou forget God or forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods, which the gods of the people, or of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and to destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess a good land, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Preach from there. What does it mean? And then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were in Pharaoh's bondmen. We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord has showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Here's another text we've preached from many times, verse 23. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is that as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. You can be seated.
Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Verse 12 again, "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord." Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, on forgetting God. Forgetting God. We are living in a day where it's a remarkable how that, like the children of Israel, we have been blessed and have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of all the glory world. We have been the favor of God and have been shown the favor of God, His grace, His mercy, and His love. And what a shame it is that in the midst of prosperity, and though, my friend, in the midst of blessings, though we have the gifts of God upon us, that we have the tendency as human beings in a time like that to forget the Lord. And that is what's happening, or what he warned against happening in the children of Israel's lives. The Israelites had been delivered by God from Egyptian bondage. They had seen the miracles of God's provisions in the wilderness, and Moses reminds them of that. And they had wandered for 40 years awaiting for entrance into the promised land, but not one day, though they wandered in the wilderness, though they wandered in disbelief, though they wandered in disobedience, not one day did God fail to be with them. Not one day did God fail to feed them, to give them water to drink, to give them everything they needed to sustain them, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to guide them. Not one day did God fail them. And now His promise of this promised land was about to come to pass, and they were about to enter victorious and blessed when Moses preached this sermon unto them and warned them, when you get into that land, when you cross over into Jordan and you go into that land of plenty to continue to serve God and trust Him when you're living in Canaan. Isn't it remarkable how sometimes in the wilderness experiences of life, my friend, the hard times of life, you lean on God and you trust Him and you depend on the Lord. But then when you enter into victorious times, that is what Canaan is, a victorious Christian life. You enter into victorious times, good times, blessed times, at times filled with plenty. Isn't it remarkable how we are so likely, so prone to forget God? Oh, so prone to wander. The old song, the old hymnal said, when we find ourselves in those times of prosperity, it's so easy sometimes to forget God. He instructed them to teach their children of God and of His law, to not be distracted with the things of the land, or to be drawn away by the gods of the Canaanites. He warned them strongly against forgetting God. Forgetting God. What a shame it is that man can forget God. God has never forgotten us. But what a shame it is that man oftentimes is guilty of forgetting God. Sometimes it's easy for us to go about our daily lives and to be distracted by the world and lose sight of God and forget about Him altogether. I want to give you three things that are causing people sometimes to be distracted by forgetting God, and they don't want to try to preach to you this morning. First of all, our problems sometimes will distract us and to get folks to forget God. Amen. Sometimes the problems of life and all it brings get people to forget God. Amen. What a shame it is that in the midst of troubles, when we need Him the most at times, is when we forget about Him. We get so caught up in the moment and the things of the right now and the issues and the problems we face, that all we do stare at trouble and problem and we forget about God. The reason why people despair in the midst of trouble is they forget God. The reason why people lose hope in the midst of trouble is because that they forget God. Don't forget God in your troubled times, in your problems. Don't forget God. But not only do problems cause us to forget God, predicaments cause us to forget God. And my friend, tight times, and my friend, dangers that lurk in the way. Exodus chapter 14 is a good example. And the
children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They've been delivered from Egyptian bondage. Now they're facing the Red Sea. And do they look back and Pharaoh's army is hot on their heels? And my friend, he's on their trail, and Israel is pinned up against the Red Sea. If they go forward, they'll drown in the sea. If they go backward, they'll be slain by Pharaoh. There is no way for escape to them. And they looked at Moses and said, "We told you it would be like this. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Why would you not listen to us? Why would you not hear us? We told you it wouldn't work." And they looked at their predicament. They didn't even have a problem, really, you see. There was pending danger. That's what a predicament is. It's a choice to make. It's a time of pending danger. It's when you are between a rock and a hard place. It's when you're in a tight spot, you see. And that's where they were. And they said, "We told you it would be like this." You know why they told Moses that it would be like that? Because they forgot God. And they got in their predicament. They got in their tight spot. They got between a rock and a hard place, and they forgot about God. I wonder, when you get into a place where you can't see your way out, is your first idea to say, "I will just go back to Egypt. I wish I'd never trusted God"? Or is it your first idea to say, "It must be God's fault. I knew what God told me to do wasn't going to work out"? Or, my friend, do you forget God? Do you forget about the same God that delivered you from Egypt, can also deliver you from Pharaoh, can also deliver you from the Red Sea? He's the same God. And my friend, He knows what you're going through. And by the way, you're going through. Amen. That's exactly right. The children of Israel thought the Lord don't know what we are going through. The truth was, they didn't know what they were going through. Amen. They were about to go through the sea. Amen. The Lord knew exactly what they was going through. If you'd asked them what they was going through, they said, "We're fixing to go through dying. We're fixing to go through a battle." And God, you'd ask Him what they're fixing to go through, He said, "They're about to go through the Red Sea is what you're going through." What you think you're going through, and what God knows you're going through, two different things. And God will be there in your predicament. Don't forget about God because of your circumstance. When they said, "Moses, why'd you bring us out here? We told you it'd be like this." Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Don't forget about God. I know about Pharaoh. I know about the sea. But you folks are forgetting about God. Amen. They were in a predicament, and it caused them to forget God. Our problems, our predicaments. But in our text this morning, our prosperity can, my friend, distract people and cause them to forget about God. Verse number 10 said, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land for which He sware to thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou biddest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, when He blessed them so greatly, when they didn't have to walk outside their tent every morning and to trust God to rain bread from heaven again, when they had security, when they had safety. Oh, my fear, would they forget God? Oh, my, the fact is that God warned them against this because He knew they would. When they got into Canaan, when they got into houses that didn't build, ate from vineyards that didn't plant, drank from wells that didn't dig, and they did forget God. They did forget about the Lord. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. He said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 2, "I've nourished and brought up children, yet they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." They had forgotten God. Amen. Blessings was on their life, and yet they forgot God. He likened to them, and my friend, unto Gomer in the book of Hosea, that wife of Hosea that had returned unto her life of whoredoms after it was that she had married Hosea and born children, had a good life. and that Hosea was supplying food and corn and all for her. She didn't even know where the groceries was coming from, but it was Hosea putting food on her table even while she was running about with other men, and she was oblivious where her blessings were coming from. I tell you, when I failed God, hadn't even done right by Him, haven't lived the way that I should, haven't served Him like I should, He's even been good to me in those times. Oh, what a shame it is that in the midst of prosperity and good times, many times we forget about God.
Amen.
Have we forgotten God this morning? Have we lost sight of His bigness, His book, His blessings, His breath, His blood? Oh, my friend, this phrase, forget God, or forgetting God, is in three places in the Bible. It's here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's also found in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 19 or 9 and 17, and in Psalms 50 and 22. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 22 said, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." Notice judgment would come upon those that forgot God. Are you hearing me? Psalm chapter number 9 and verse 7 says, 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." It's a shame this morning when I look at America at this critical Thanksgiving season in the 2010. I see a nation that has forgotten God. I see a nation in the land of plenty. And the face of you we have, we think we have economic distress. And yet everybody I see is fat as a pig. Amen. Our folks ain't starving to death. Everybody's dying. Used to be people spent their money to buy food. Now they're spending their money to figure out how to eat and not get fair with it. Amen. I tell you, until we get to the place, hey friend, I saw rabbits and squirrels yesterday everywhere, and there wasn't nobody chasing any of them. Amen. Our folks, we're living in good days. Amen. It's, I know things ain't like they have been. We've eaten so high on the hog as Americans. We've eaten so high on the hog in our lives. And my friend had it so good that we don't even know how to weather those storms. And my friend, difficult times and so forth. But there's not a person in this building that's not blessed. And I mean very blessed. Amen. Everybody in here wearing nice clothes. Hey, nobody in here that slept on the ground last night, at least not because they had to. Brother Randy's been out there. He got a nice house to live in. And my friend, he got an air conditioning, heat and everything. A roof, it's dry when it rains. He's been out there in a pop-up camper all week, chasing up deer that won't show up. Had one showed up, but he won't come back no more. Amen. That's exactly right. Next time he comes, he'll be coming for dinner. Amen. And nobody in this building had to sleep on the ground last night. And nobody in this place. And my friend had to go barefooted to church this morning. Some of you ladies got to church and took your shoes off. And my friend, like hillbilly, but you don't have to be barefooted. You got shoes to wear. You got clothes to wear. You've got food to eat. I mean, we're blessed. We're blessed. Before the service, Brother Charles went out to the fellowship hall. I just saw my Bible sitting on the table out there. I brought it out here and put it up under his. And some of them thought he was trying to help me out, wanted me to take care of me. He was trying to hide my Bible and pick on me. And so they told me, "Had it out here, I come and got it." And he said, "I'm trying to pick on you." So he went and had your Bible to preach out of. I said, "I didn't say without even thinking. I got four or five of them at the house. I go get another one." And then I thought for just a moment, how blessed am I to live in a land where I got four or five Bibles at home. What about that, friend? I mean, we're living in a horn of plenty here in this country. And in the midst of our prosperity, I look around me and see a nation that has forgotten God.
Amen. That's exactly right. Well, I want to give you four things this morning. We've forgotten about God, and I'll be done. First of all, I want to say we've forgotten about the bigness of God. We've forgotten about the bigness of God. Oh, hey. We're not serving some little bitty God. Some wee, helpless God. Some God up in heaven drinking Maalox
socks and eating Rolaids. My friend is scratching his head and pulling out his hair and wringing his hands, wondering what he's going to do with my problem and yours. And God's not dead, and he's not sick, and he's not weak, and he ain't even taking vitamins, amen. He don't need health insurance or a doctor. I mean, he's God, friend. He's high and lifted up, and he's still on his throne. Oh, and I praise his name for that. He's a big God. Back years ago, old Robert said he saw Jesus in a vision, and he was 90 feet tall. But Eddie Denson said he knew there's something wrong, old Robert. He's serving a little bitty Jesus. Amen. I tell you, the heavens are his throne. The earth is his footstool. Oh, yes, that's right. He holds the waters of the whole earth in the hollow of his hand. Ephesians 3:20 said, he's able to do now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church. I tell you, we've lost out of the bigness of God. He's greater this morning. You say, my problems is big, your God's bigger. Amen. My troubles is big, your God's bigger. My mountain's big, your God's bigger. My giants are big, your God is bigger. You mean to tell me, Mr. Israel, you're going to send this little runt David out here to fight me, Goliath? I'm big and I'm strong and I'm tough, and he's a little worm. What do you think I am, some kind of dog? David said, you've come to me with spear and a sword, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord God, Jehovah, the God of Israel. Who are you? Some uncircumcised Philistine dog to attack the armies of the living God? Oh, David said, you may be big, Mr. Goliath, but God is bigger. We've forgotten about the bigness of God.
Amen.
Amen. I like what Johnny Pope says. He says, God's bigger than all your explanations of him. Amen. And that's exactly right. However you big you think God is, however big you can explain God, he's bigger than that. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, I want to say he's greater than the devil this morning. Somebody said, oh, the devil's mean, and he is. And by the way, the devil's meaner than what you are. You're not a match for him. But my big brother's bigger than what he is. He's greater than the devil. What Brother Tom Scott taught this morning in Sunday school was right. We can go to battle and have hope and help of victory because God is greater than the devil. Amen. 1 John 4:4 said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's greater than the devil. Have you forgot about how big God is this morning? He's greater than the demons. In Mark 1:22-27, Jesus cast out the devils out of a man, the synagogue. And when the people saw it, they said about it, with the fire he commandeth thee, even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than all the little devils. Amen. He's greater than the deities. Somebody said, I serve God. It's just not the same God you serve. And all gods are the same. But all gods are not the same. And by the way, if all gods were the same, then we'd all be serving the same God, and you wouldn't be serving a different God to start with now, would you? Think that one through just a little bit. Oh, God, help us. I'm telling you, friend, all these gods that are not really gods, but so-called gods, and that the world and society and the religions of the earth worship, he is greater. He showed it in Egypt as all of their gods were defeated. And my friend, the plagues that came upon the land showed his superiority over the gods of Egypt. He showed it over the gods of the Canaanites as the children of Israel took the land. And my friend, he shows it in this day, and will show it in the last day, when that stone that was hewn out of the mountain, not made with the hands of man, and made by the master builder, will come tumbling, and my friend, knock down the nations of the world, and put to nothing false religion that was in the base of that sacrifice in Babylon. They ain't got time to preach at all. But my friend, it'll become a mountain and fill the whole earth, and King Jesus will reign again. I tell
soon and very soon.
Yeah.
We're going to meet the King.
Yeah.
He's greater than all the deities of the world.
Right.
Deuteronomy 3:24 said, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant greatness." By the way, that's all he's done. He's just begun it. Amen. Somebody said, "I've seen the greatness of the Lord." No, you've just seen him begin to show his greatness. Amen. "And of thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might?" Oh, thank God. Somebody said, "I believe in your God when I have proof." I wish that crowd had just let me take a little while and interview some of you this morning. I think you are proof enough. Amen. Hey, maybe you could tell us what you were before you met Jesus. How you used to be till God came in your life. What life you lived. What character you had. What sin was in your heart until Jesus came by. Hey, we don't have time for it all this morning. But if there's an unbeliever here, if you want to hang around, we'll just get 3 or 4 witnesses and let them take some time. There's some folks around here don't want nobody to know what they were before they got saved. And I ain't proud of nothing I've ever done that's wrong. But if you're lost and you need some proof this morning of what God can do, we'll have some volunteers that'll hang around and tell you about the kind of person I used to be. The face of Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Hey, friend, maybe some will tell you about drugs and alcohol. Others will tell you about not loving the family. Some will tell you about having mistreated others. Some will tell you about lies and stealing. Others might finna tell you about sacrilegious acts in their lives. Self-righteousness and religion that had them eat up. But everyone with a common theme, lost and on their way to hell. Jesus came by, and what marvelous words. I hadn't seen them all, but he's begun to show them unto me. I tell you, I don't ever want to lose sight of the bigness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Oh, the Israelites had trouble with idolatry just as God warned them they would. But he reminded them often that he was God besides him and there was not another. Verse 14, "You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God." He said in Isaiah 43:10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and I have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And that there is none that can deliver out of my hand." We've lost, we've forgotten the bigness of God. Amen. Secondly, I want to say, so many have forgotten not only the bigness of God, but they've forgotten the book of God. Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book." The book. Oh, I still believe in the book. Amen. On the front of it says Holy Bible, and those words are not just a title like a name of a book, but it is holy and it is precious. Some of you are looking on the front of yours and it don't say nothing. And mine used to say it on the end, but it don't say nothing there because it's worn off. But all the words on the inside are the same. For 20 years I've been using and preaching out of this same Bible. A couple of weeks ago, Gracie started fumbling through this Bible. It was last Sunday she started fumbling through. And she said, "Daddy, there's something on almost every page
that's underlined. Daddy, there's something on almost every page that's got a date by it where you preached on it. Daddy, there's something on almost every page that's highlighted, that's got marks beside it, notes on it. Daddy, there's something on every... Look, Dad, those pages are about to fall out. Look at those pages, Dad. A tape on the corners to hold it in. Dad, look where. It's been smeared. The print's been smeared by your sweating and you're weeping over it while you're preaching and while you're studying God's Word. Oh, I thank God for the companion that I have in my Bible. Amen. Ooh. Oh, I bless His name. This is the Bible when I started preaching. Not the one I started preaching from, but I've been preaching a year and my mom and dad bought this Bible for me and said, son, preach the Word. And I've been trying to preach from it now for some 20 years. Oh, God, and all of my learning and all of my doing and going. May I encourage the young'uns to get all the education you can get. I'm in favor of higher learning. I'm in favor of learning skilled trades and ways to make a living and provide for your family. But in all that getting, get understanding. And my friend, in all that getting, a little Raven Hill said, get unction, amen. And you'll never study a book more important than this book. You'll never study a subject more important than what's in this Bible. Amen, amen, amen. You can hang degrees. And my friend, our designations on your wall have letters behind your name long as the alphabet. But if you don't know this book, you don't know anything. And don't forget about the book of God. Amen. This whole chapter is about the people of God remembering His words. And if they remember His words, they will not forget God. The reason why America has forgotten God is because they have forsaken His word. Amen. The reason why the average young person grows up now, even in church, and when they get up to a certain age and they begin to get their independence and go on their own, they go a direction other than the Bible is because they've forgotten about the book.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to me, young people. If you'll get it deep enough in you, this book, not just in your head, but in your heart, there'll be some things that the devil will tempt you with that may allure your flesh, but you won't be able to stand to do it.
Right.
That's the truth. And when you do it, it'll grieve your spirit. It'll smother you so bad. And now, listen, I'm not talking about things that right now you're saying, oh, I would never do that. I'm talking about them things that you're saying, man, the first chance I get, I'm going to do that. And hey, those are the things, if you really get in this book, and this book gets in you, you'll come the time you'll say, hey, I just can't do it. I remember Hanley Milby talking about how that he joined the military trying to run from the call to preach. And he asked him to send him as far from home as what he could. And he begged him. They said, you've enlisted, you volunteer, you can go where you want to. He said, send me as far away from home as what I can get. Where's the farthest place you got people stationed? They said, well, that we can send you to Korea. He said, that'll be fine. Is that a long ways off? They said, that's a long ways off. He said, that's where I want to go. Little did he know there's having a war there at the time. And they sent him to Korea. He said, I got in the military and I thought I was just getting mean. He said, I'll curse and then God won't be able to use me. And he said, I tried to curse and I couldn't curse to save my life. And he said, I thought I would drink liquor with him. That's what I'll do. And he said, I tried to drink liquor and I couldn't drink liquor. I said, I thought, well, I'll gamble with a crowd. And he said, I couldn't put my hand on a set of them cards. He said, all I could hear was the man of God back home preaching. All I could see was my mama's face saying, Henry, let God use you. The Word of God. He said, I told the Lord, if you just get me out of this place and get me back home, I'll straighten up and I'll do right. And so when he got home, he couldn't be so cold, couldn't seem to find God. And said, but then his wound God to work in his life. I walked back down by the praying place and next to this old tree where the stump was. And he said, he knelt down to pray. And God came by like he did in days past. And he began to bargain with God. Said, God, if you'll get me a new car, and if you'll get me a nice suit of clothes, and if you'll get me a big congregation, and if you'll get me a brick church, then I'll preach.
preacher. And he said he got so cold on the Lord. Every day he'd go back to praying and couldn't find God nowhere. I said, finally, he kept going back. One day he said, I'll do it. You haven't got to put the brick on the church. I'll do it if you'll just do the rest of it. The next day he said, well, I'll wear whatever clothes you need for me to. And the next day you can have the car back. The next day you can have the congregation back. He said, week by week, he said, I got down the place. I said, God, if you just let me preach, I'd do anything. I just got to get in your will. I said, he looked over there in the corner. Up by that something, there's a groundhog there. And God said to him, preach to the groundhog. He said, I ain't going to do it. And he said, I got cold again. And he thought, I'll just preach to the groundhog. And he said, he preached the groundhog. He said, I don't know how long I preached the groundhog. When I come back to myself, he wasn't there no more. But he said, God had never left me again like that. And I've tried to be faithful, be faithful. And if I got to preach the groundhog, I'll preach the groundhog. Then I don't want to leave this book. Amen. I want to tell you, we need to forget how the world and remember God. How would we have forgotten God in our remembrance of the world?
We've forgotten the book. Oh my. Verses 6 through 9 talks about how you need to teach it to your children. When you're up, when you're down, when you're home at night, daytime, when you're rising up in the morning, bind it on your house, bind it on your hand, put it as frontlet between your eyes, teach your children every day, write it on the post of your heart. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3, that says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is to thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the presbytery, but meditate on these things, give thyself holy unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed of thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have we forgotten about God? Have we forgotten about His book this morning? Have we forgotten this book is not just any book, it's inspired? This is an inspired book. That word inspired means breathed of God. This book is inspired. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for reproof, for doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. And then verse chapter 4 and verse 1, next verse, I charge thee therefore, Timothy, before the God, which shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, found to come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap on themselves teachers having itch and ears. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Don't forget about the book. It's an inspired book, it's an infallible book. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible records where hearts failed in Genesis 42 and 28. Money failed in Genesis 47 and 15. Kinfolk failed in Job 19 and 14. A refuge failed in Psalms 142 and 4. Souls failed in Song of Solomon 5 and 6. Might failed in Jeremiah 51 and 30. Eyes failed in Lamentations 4 and 17. But God's word never failed. Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Said, you know that in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God has spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua 21:45, there hath failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord God has spoken in the house of Israel. All came to pass. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel. According to all that He promised, there hath not failed one word of all His good promise which He promised by the hand of Moses His servant. That this word is infallible.
Right.
It's infallible. Have you forgotten that it's inerrant? Psalm 33 and 4 said the word of the Lord is right. And all His works are done in truth. Somebody says, that's where I disagree with the Bible. It don't really matter if you disagree with the Bible. The word of the Lord is right.
Amen.
Right.
By the way, this is the part of my preaching the world don't like. What I'm doing right this minute is this being so sure about something. I mean, listen, I wouldn't argue with you 5 seconds over the Bible. It's already made its own argument. And it's right. And let God be true and every man a liar. And really, to be honest with you, it doesn't matter to me whether you agree with it or not. It's not up to me to convince you. It's just up to me to preach it to you. Amen. I'm not pleading with you to get it in your heart and in your life. I'm proclaiming it's right if you ever accept it or not. The Bible is right. God is true. Have you forgotten by the book? Have you forgotten God? His book is inerrant. His book is inexhaustible. Romans chapter 11 verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Ephesians 3 and 16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We have not exhausted this book. It's inexhaustible.
Amen.
Have you forgotten God? His bigness, His book, His blessings. And I won't stay long on this. I've already hit it some. We're going to finish in just a moment. But have you forgotten His blessings? Do you live and go about your day and don't even consider where your blessings come from? Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 73 and 1, truly God is good to Israel, even as such as be of a clean or a pure heart. That's what Asaph said. Yet later in the chapter, he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Hey, Asaph got caught up looking at others and forgetting about God's blessings on his own life. And he almost fell.
Right.
And when he warned us of the last day, he said men will be lovers of themselves more than, and above, boasters, covetous, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He said they'd be disobedient to parents. He said they'd be unthankful and unholy. When a generation becomes unthankful, they will always become unholy. They've forgotten God. Have you forgotten about His blessings this morning? He's our salvation. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He's our strength in 2 Samuel 22 and 33. "God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect." He's our shelter. He's our shield and buckler is what He said this morning. He's our shelter in Psalm 61. And verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is high. Higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in a tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings." He will abide. Hey, thank God. We learned it this morning from Psalm 91. "I'm glad I'm abiding under His shadow. I'm covered by His wings." Have you forgotten about the blessings of God? The breath of God. Have you forgotten about it this morning? You know why you're alive? Because God breathed in man's nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living soul.
Amen.
Psalm 33 and 6 said, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth."
Right.
Without the breath of God, we cannot survive as a church.
Right.
It was His breath that came down on Pentecost like a mighty rushing wind. It was His breath that filled the nostrils of those dry bones that were very dry and had been brought together and skin upon them in Ezekiel 37. That was His breath that He breathed. And He said to His disciples in John 20 and 22, as He breathed on them, He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." We've got to have His breath today. All of our programs.
our singing, our Sunday school, our best efforts, our talents are nothing without the breath of God. All is vain except the Holy One. I come down, my friend, we need His Spirit, His breath on our church.
We want to survive the church. We got to remember His breath, Brother Bob.
If you're going to succeed as a Christian, you've got to remember His breath. Judges 14 and 6, and 14 and 19, and 15 and 14 all speak of how that the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, and he was victorious. In Judges 16 and 20, he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him, and he went out and shook himself as before. He went through the whole same routine. He did all the same things he did before. He looked the same man. He thought he'd get the same results. But he was defeated in the end.
He was defeated, he was demoralized, and he was destroyed. I'm telling you, the victory is not in our routine. It is in His anointing. It's not in your customary practice. It's not in our religious rituals. It's not in what you do and what you don't do. You can have all the standards and all of the, my friend, the convictions in the world, and I'm for that. But all of that does not bring power with God. My friend, it's not in your routine. It's in His anointing.
Right. Amen.
Samson shook himself just as before. He went through the routine. Too many preachers are preaching in the routine. Singers are singing in the routine. Sunday school teachers are teaching in the routine. Christians are living in their routine. But it is not in the routine. It's not in our habits spiritually. It's in the power of God. Have we forgotten Him? Somebody say amen to that. We've forgotten His breath. We've got all the routine down and know how to do things just right and just so. Unless God anoints it, it's not worth anything.
Right.
If you want to succeed as a Christian, if you want to stand as a comrade in battle, fight. Brother Scott has mentioned this morning. You'll need the Spirit of God, the breath of God on your life. Ephesians 5 and 18 said, be not filled with wine where there's excess, be not drunk with wine where there's excess, be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 6 and verse 10 of Ephesians is leading into that whole armor of God. You know what it says? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Everybody wants to preach on the whole armor of God. And they forget about the verse that sets the stage for the whole thing. Without you're strong in the power of His might, all the rest of those things, those tools, are worth very little to you. Because you don't have no idea how to exercise them. That's right. Many speak of the armor of God, but before we're instructed to put it on, we're reminded in order for it to be effective, we must know our strength is in the Spirit of God.
Right.
Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. There's a song that the Inspirations used to sing that I really ain't crazy about the song because it's sort of, it ain't got a good tune. How about that? Don't have no rhythm to it. But it's got a message. It's a good poem. It's just not a good song. It ain't. And somebody need to come up with some new words or new music to it. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. A willing vessel I would be. I wonder, do you have the Holy Spirit flowing through your life? Are you so wrapped up in your religious and Christian routine this morning that you're going through it like you're going through the, you're almost sleepwalking through your Christian life? Or is the Holy Spirit of God flowing through you? Some of you have sleepwalked through this service.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Amen.
You sleepwalked through singing in the choir. Right now you're thinking, golly, I can't believe he's preached this long. I preached short last week. When you split them up in half, they're right there on average. You put one foot in ice, the other one in a boiling pot of water. On average, you're comfortable, see? You've sleptwalked through the service. You sleepwalked through the preaching. You sleepwalked through the Sunday school time. You go to sit down, I'm going to be disciplined. Praise God, I'm a faithful Christian. Praise God, look how devout I am. I read my Bible every night. But you sleptwalked through it.
Right.
Are you hearing my preaching? It's a routine. It's a ritual. It's dead. There's no breath on it. There's no spirit on it. Oh, you got so many convictions. Jesus would be too liberal for you. But you don't do them anymore because you love God. You do it because it's a routine unto you. I mean, friend, whenever you dress right, do you look down at your clothes, realize you're different, and say, I'm doing this because I love Jesus? I mean, whenever you say the right things and do the right things, is it out of habit or is it because you've got a burning desire, zeal, and love for God? I mean, friend, when you say the blessing over your food, is it just a routine? Or are you genuinely thankful?
Right.
I submit to you, we're guilty. We're guilty, you this morning, me. We're guilty of forgetting God.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And we're sleeping through it. Like the three boys, James, John, and Peter, the inner circle of the disciples, that go to the mountain with Jesus and he's transformed into his heavenly image. He steps over on the other side while he's yet on this side, and they are asleep. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asks them to watch and pray, and he comes back three times, finding them sleeping.
Yes, right.
Finally, says, just sleep on.
Yep, right.
Your opportunity is past.
Amen.
Time you could have done anything to help me is gone. Jesus didn't need to help to get out of Gethsemane. He needed help to get through Gethsemane. He's gotten through it now. That time's past. Your opportunity's gone. In judgment will God look at you and say, you slept through it. You slept past it. You slept past the opportunity. You forgot God.
Right.
Are you sleepwalking through it this morning?
I am.
Are you just going through the motions? I'm finished preaching. You come on the song. I've stumbled across something here. Some of you this morning, you look at me when I'm preaching. And I can pick out, I can't tell you, but there's probably more people sleepwalking through the meeting than what I know about. But I could put hands on some of you. I'm talking about people that's wicked. I ain't talking about people that's out in gross sin. I don't know what you've been doing, haven't been doing. But there's a lot of times I can tell when you're sleepwalking.
Right.
Somebody said, I won't be there Sunday, my spirit will be there. That's better than what some of you've done this morning. You've been here, but your spirit hadn't. I'm not trying to be comical, nor am I trying to be controversial or combative. I'm just saying that we forget about God. If we're so carnal we can forget about God in church, we can forget about God at church. We're here because of God.
Right.
And we're so carnal we can forget about God at church.
Right.
You know how I know people forget about God at church? You leave and you can't recall what song was sung. But you can recall who hurt your feelings.
Hey. Right.
Yeah. Whether or not the Christmas play got planned the way or the time you wanted it. We can forget about God at church.
You're right.
How prone are we to forget Him in the other areas of our lives? Beware. Beware then! Lest thou forget the Lord.
Yes.
The old song says, if we forget God, His mercy will flee. And sin will cover the land and the sea. If we forget God, Satan will rule. If we forget God, this nation is through.
time for us to be like the 10th leper and return to His feet today. Remember where your blessings come from. Recognize His power and providence. In all the things you do each day that seem so important, at the moment, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Please stand if you need to pray this morning. Would you come? Oh, how guilty I find myself. Don't forget God if you need to pray this morning. So prone to wander from His side. If you need to talk to the Lord, would you come today? Would you talk to Him? Get you some help from Him. Draw near to His side. If you're not saved, today is the day to recognize Him in your life. Every born again child of God ought to take some time to recognize Him this morning. To draw nigh to Him. If you need to pray, would